This is A Couple Cooked Small Bites, bite-sized food for thought. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex Overheiser. We're the podcast that pairs small bites of food with short-form interviews to inspire you in less than 20 minutes.
You can go to our website, acouplecooks.com, for hundreds of recipes, healthy living inspiration, and our cookbook, Pretty Simple Cooking. Today on the show, living life around the table and valuing relationships over perfection. Hey, welcome to Small Bites. This is the show where we cut out the small talk and get right to the point with the stories, ideas, and people behind what we eat. Today's show is an exciting one. We've brought on cookbook author Ashley Rodriguez to talk about her new book, Let's Stay In, and the value of life around the table.
Ashley, if you know her work, you might see it and think, oh man, she lives a perfect life. She has these three beautiful kids, making beautiful food, taking beautiful pictures. It seems simple. But you and I know, taking pictures, creating food, it's not simple. It's not always pretty. It's definitely not perfect.
Yeah. And in the intro to her book, Ashley says, I don't expect perfection. I long for relationship. And I think that's what it's all about. It's about the relationships that are formed around the table, not whether you have the most beautiful tableware or napkins or tablescape that you've created. I don't think I've ever created a tablescape, honestly.
You've created a beautiful bowl, maybe just not the entire table.
Right. I mean, for us, if you see our Instagram feed, it's actually a very small piece of what the actual surrounding is. We are lucky to have a great kitchen, but most of the time there's a huge mess behind the photo, and the photo is just a small piece of where we've set up our photography studio.
That being said, I love that the internet has created a place where we can share beautiful things, where we can create little pieces of art every day that we can take a bowl of soup and turn it into something delicious and beautiful and share it with friends.
And speaking of edible art, let's get to this small bite. Today's small bite of real food that we have paired with our interview is a recipe from Ashley's book, Let's Stay In. It's the charred scallion dip. And that is charred as in blackened, not charred as in a leafy green. Now, Alex, you picked this one out of the book of 100-ish recipes. Why did you choose this one for us to taste today?
Well, I love a good fire charred item. So I saw that charred scallion and it had me. And then I looked at the recipe.
You are a bit of a pyro.
I am a bit of a pyro. But I saw the recipe and it's also really quick and simple. And so that's two wins for me. Let's give it a taste.
Okay. So what I'm looking at here is a bowl of dip. It's white and there are some flecks of green in there, which I know are the scallions. Looks a little like ranch dip. So let me give it a try. I'm going in for a second bite. So you tell us how it tastes, Alex.
So it's pretty much a classic veggie chip dip, but the flavors are a little bit elevated. It's a little bit more savory, and I really love that charred scallion.
I think what's fun about it is that it really takes no time to put together. It's simple, but it also feels fancy. And I think that's exactly what our guest, Ashley, is all about.
If you've seen Ashley's recipes, you know she can incorporate gourmet flavors, beautiful ingredients, but keep it all pretty simple and accessible so that you can actually make it.
Let's call her up, shall we?
Let's do it.
Ashley Rodriguez is an author, food consultant, cooking instructor, and creator of notwithoutsalt.com. After beginning her career in professional kitchens as a pastry chef, Ashley now teaches in and around Seattle and in her new storefront, the Not Without Salt Shop. She's also host and producer of the award-winning web series Kitchen Unnecessary, which shows the magic of cooking wild seasonal ingredients over the fire all year long. Ashley, welcome to Small Bites.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So your new book, Let's Stay In, is all about nourishing families. You have three kids of your own, but your food isn't the typical like American kid food. It's beautiful, seasonal, sophisticated. And I think here in the U.S., there's this vibe that kid food has to like have bright colors and smiley faces, but your book is just full of sophisticated and adventurous recipes. What's your philosophy on feeding families?
Yeah, so it's so fun to have this conversation in this book about, you know, how Gabe and I approach the family table. And we sort of set out from the very beginning that one, we will never be short order cooks. You know, what is on the table for dinner is what's for dinner. But more importantly than that, we always wanted the family table and the time at the table to be special and for it to feel like it has intention and for them to fall in love with food and just for there not to be pressure. You know what I mean? We've never been members of the Clean Plate Club. We do say that we would like for you to take a no thank you bite, which just means you try it. And if you don't like it, you say no thank you. But if you're not going to eat your dinner, then that's it. There's nothing beyond that until breakfast.
That is so cute. I'm like scarred from growing up and staring at my plate of food.
Part of the reason why we have that is because Gabe does have a memory of his childhood of being forced to finish his tomatoes. And even his dad had to go into work and his dad worked down the street. And sure enough, there's Gabe sitting in his dad's office with his plate.
That sounds about like me too, including the tomatoes, because I was scared of those growing up too.
Well, and to this day, Gabe will not eat tomatoes. So I was like, we are not doing that. He's sitting over here next to me and he just kind of shrugged. He'll eat salsa and, you know, you kind of have to disguise them a little bit. But every summer I find the most perfect tomato and I'm like, here, babe, try this one. Because I just want him to get the pleasure from it that I do. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. I think the point for me is I didn't ever want there to be a battle. I love food so much and the gathering that happens around food. And I want that to be the primary message in our home and not the, you have to eat this and da 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 da, you know, like listen to your body. That's a message we repeat often. And just enjoy it. But yeah, I don't make quote unquote kid food because I want to make the food that I enjoy and the food that is in season and the food that is inspiring me. And I think that they can get behind that. Granted, there is a lot of pasta because I love pasta as well. And that's usually a kid winner too. So sometimes
do you get the kids in the kitchen helping you cook?
Sometimes. Yeah. I've never put that on them. I mean, maybe in the way beginning where it's like, oh, you know, where you have these imagery of, you know, oh, it's going to be so sweet. We're going to work together. And then like the flowers start flying and the cuts happen and reality meets, you know, your expectations. And, but I never wanted to really put that on them because I love cooking. And so I've always let them lead the way in that. And they have at different points, they've gotten into it. Or like this summer, Baron, my oldest, who's now 12, he was feeling a bit bored. And so I was like, hey, let's do a project. And so we started our own sourdough starter. And that's been so cool to do with him. And even though he's not baking the bread as often as I would want for him to do, can you imagine like having fresh baked bread in your house every day? Your kid is
train your 12-year-old to do that. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Trying, but he takes so much pride in like seeing the loaves because we started the sourdough starter together and like his middle school just had a potluck and was like, what should we bring? And we decided to bring homemade bread because he was like, wanted to show off his sourdough starter. So there's little things like that too, that really it's a simple effort and yet it makes a big impact.
We have a 1.5-year-old Larson, and we're even seeing that with him as young as he is that once he is in the kitchen and helping with something, he is starting to, in just a very small way, but connect more to his food and be a little more invested in it. And I can only imagine as time goes by that continues to increase.
Yeah. And I always remember from my childhood, you know, watching my mom in the kitchen, not necessarily participating, but watching her enjoy it and watching her enjoy the food. And she would always say, oh, I just love vegetables so much. And she genuinely did. And I just didn't understand that at the time. I was like, how can someone be so passionate about vegetables? It stuck with me. And so the thing that I remember, you know, we have Roman, our middle son, is a very adventurous eater, loves pate, loves oysters, loves all the things and takes such pleasure in eating. And the other two have a bit more discerning palates, I should say. But what I try to remember is that just being around all this food and the, you know, these fresh ingredients and understanding what eating seasonally and eating locally and that kind of stuff looks like, and watching me and Roman take so much pleasure in what we're eating, I think it's got to rub off on them, you know. And I think it's hard to, especially, you know, where you guys are at, like, it's hard to see what the lasting impacts can be. But as they get older, you can start to see, like, oh, this is having an effect on them. And these are, you know, they go to other friends' houses and see how they eat, and it's so different. And I don't know, it's cool to see.
What's one recipe, either from your book or just online, or something that you make that all the family enjoys, but is not really a kid food?
Oh man. Well, of course, my mind immediately goes to the sweets, but no. I think the lemony carbonara with peas is a 5 thumbs up Rodriguez family favorite.
Is that what's on the cover of your book? I see a beautiful plate of pasta.
Yeah, that is. It's just sort of a bright, fresh take on carbonara. And again, that's it. It's not that far of a step from mac and cheese, but yet there are some freshness and it's a little bit more elevated. So I enjoy it and the kids love it and everyone's happy. I think most of the recipes in the book, like, I wanted to have all of their approval. And not all of them. Some of them, I overrode them a little bit to say, like, I hear you, you don't love this, but you know what? I'm putting it in the book. The roasted cauliflower and potato burritos are also a hit. Mm-hmm. Anything wrapped in a tortilla in our household usually gets the five thumbs up.
So in your book, you also, aside from sharing recipes, you talk about being a mom. And one thing I liked was you talked about this transition where you became a mom and then you started kind of feeling like you had to live up to this impossible idea of the perfect mom.
Yeah.
And then at some point you stopped this and you said you stopped focusing on what you weren't and started leaning into who you were. Can you tell us a little bit more about this journey and how it can relate to even people who aren't moms or dads?
Yeah, totally. I'll try and keep it brief, but man, this is a subject that I'm incredibly passionate about. And honestly, I feel like there could be a whole other book around it just because of my own journey and how painful it was. Because when you're pushing yourself into, I guess I just had this idea of what a mom is to look like. And I thought then I needed to change so much about me in order to fit into that mold and suppress all my desires and what I wanted to do with my life in order to become the mom that I thought I needed to be. And when I, you know, it was a very personal journey of just becoming okay with who I am. It started off with becoming okay with who I am, and then it became more happy with who I am and proud of who I am. And that then completely changed my parenting. And one thing, when my oldest was really, really young, I started to notice, like, oh, I think we have really similar temperaments, he and I. And I still get emotional about it because it was such a stunning revelation for me that, like, I was really trying to push him away from these tendencies that I saw in him that were so much like me. It's like, oh, no, you know, wanting, like, no, don't do that. No. And then I just stopped for a moment. And I said, why am I so afraid of him becoming like me or him being like me? Do I really not like myself that much that I'm so afraid of my child sort of looking like me? And it just really hit me. And I think that was sort of one of the impetus of just rediscovering myself, who I am, and what are my strengths, and how can I use that as a mom, and to stop looking at all the moms around me and seeing what I'm not and starting to recognize what I am and using that to my parenting strengths rather than just seeing all my lack. Of course, I want my kids to grow up loving themselves and being confident in who they are and really honoring that about themselves. And so I needed to do that for me as well.
It's so easy to want to compare ourselves to other people and to live up to kind of what expectations we feel like they have for us, maybe in the kitchen or maybe in our parenting or maybe in our job or just anything about us. And I think what I love to hear about your journey is that it was really coming to terms with your unique self and being proud of that and having joy in that. And I think that just radiates, as you mentioned, into all aspects of your life, your relationships with your community and with your family.
Absolutely. And I think we just all need to be okay with being imperfect, of course. The striving for perfection, let's just throw that out the window. And being okay with not doing it all. I mean, that's one of the questions that I get so often. How do you do it all? It's like, I don't. I really don't. I have an incredible husband who is there to pick up the pieces of the things that, you know, I lack. And I also am absolutely not afraid to tell my children to make sure that they see my humanity and say, look, that's not me. I didn't, you know, or I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. And just own up to it.
It is easy to look at someone's Instagram feed these days and think that everything is perfect. And Ashley, thank you for showing us that there is no need for perfection and just sharing all these beautiful recipes around your family table in your book, Let's Stay In.
Thank you so much for having me on here and having this conversation. I appreciate it.
If you want to see Ashley in action, she is host of a video series that's now award-winning. It's called Kitchen Unnecessary. She takes you into the wilderness and shows you how to cook wild and foraged foods over the fire. It's so much fun. It's at kitchenunnecessary.com. And I'll also mention Ashley was the watercolor illustrator for our book, Pretty Simple Cooking. So if you check out our book, you can see her beautiful work there.
And don't forget to check out Ashley's book, Let's Stay In, everywhere books are sold. You can follow along with us on Instagram at A Couple Cooks and on our website, acouplecooks.com, where you'll find hundreds of healthy everyday recipes.
Thanks for listening to Small Bites. We'll talk to you next time.